So I was 17 years old, at night, traveling by myself on my first flight out from Pensacola, Florida. And while I was there, I checked out of college, and I was loading up and got to my spot where I waited on this flight, and I thought to myself, in my teenage brilliance, I got enough time to go get some food and come back. You kind of see where this story is heading. I go get the food, I come back, and nobody I had been sitting with is there. I look up at the TV screen, and the next flight is arriving. And one of the worst feelings I've ever experienced flooded my mind and my body, and I thought, oh no, I'm gonna have to use my backpack as a pillow tonight. I called my mom on my flip phone, and I said, hey mom, I don't know what to do. This is my first time I've ever done this. Can you please find a way out for me? I don't want to stay here overnight. And she was able to find the last flight out to Houston to get back home. And mom, if you're watching this, thank you so much. Not only for that, but all you had to put up with me. I know I was a decent kid, but there's always trials and tribulations with every kid you raise. So I didn't have to spend the night there at that airport. And I share this story with you to tell you that what you do while you're waiting for the next things of life are important. What you do while waiting for the next things in life are important. Today we're going to look at Acts chapter 17. So if you'd go there in your Bibles with me, we're going to look at verses 16 through 21 as we talk about intentionality in the waiting. Intentionality in the waiting. The Word of God says this. Now, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicureans and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him, saying, what is this babbler wish to say? Others said, he seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities, because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus and said, may we know what this new teaching is that you're presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears, and we wish to know, therefore, what these things mean. Now, all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. Let's pray together. Lord, as we look at your word, God, I pray that you would take captive our mind right now from all the things that we think we need to do, all the people we need to respond to, all the things that will follow this service. God, would you get them out of our mind and help us to solely focus on your word. God, I pray right now you'd bring our heart to a place where we remember our first love. That, Lord, if you are our first love, God, we would come to you as thirsty, hungry vessels desiring your food and your drink. God, would you feed our souls today? Would you help us walk out of here changed? Let us not walk out of here unchanged. But God, help us more and more to conform into the image of Jesus. God, I also pray that your word would not just be a tool about information, but God, we would accumulate your word so that we can walk in obedience to what you have to say to us. Lord, move in us today by the power of your spirit. We pray this in your name. Amen. The first thing I want you to see from this text this morning is that intentionality with God leads to spiritual awareness. Intentionality, spending that time with God, leads to spiritual awareness. Look back at verse 16 with me. It says this. Paul was waiting for them at Athens, and his spirit was provoked within him, and he saw that the city was full of idols. Now, who is Paul waiting for here? Well, if you had read prior to what comes up in this text, you would see he's waiting for Silas and Timothy. They had been preaching to a place called Berea, and the Berean Jews, many of them came to faith in Christ. And they had just been in Thessalonica, where the Jews who heard about this preaching going on in Berea didn't like it. And so they chased Paul out of town. And Paul fled 195 miles away by boat to Athens. Meanwhile, Timothy and Silas stayed in Berea, and he sent them a message, "Hey, come join me when you can." And while Paul is there, there's a few things you should know about Athens, since this is where he's at, waiting for them. Now, Athens is the cultural, was the cultural and intellectual center of the Greek-speaking world. And Paul just so happened to be there by the providence of God. Now, our scripture goes on to say here in verse 16 that while Paul was in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him, meaning his conscience was bothered by what he was seeing. And he saw that there were many idols here. Now, while Paul is taking all this in, I want you to remember that point I'm trying to drive home here. That intentionality with God leads to spiritual awareness. And we know about Paul, if we've read through the book of Acts, that before he came to faith in Christ, he persecuted Christians. But when he got saved by Jesus on the road to Damascus, he was radically changed and on fire for the Lord. And he was a completely different man altogether. And while he is in Athens, we see this. That he's conscious of all that's going on around him because God has changed his love for Jesus. And out of that comes this spiritual awareness we see. Paul was so on fire for the Lord that he even put his own life at stake many times. If you were to go back and read 2 Corinthians 11, you would see how many times he was shipwrecked or beaten or just left for dead, and yet he continues to serve Jesus. And this is an encouragement for us, that even in times where we feel like we're denied by the world, we can look back to Paul and we can look back to the disciples as well as Jesus and remember, hey, this is worth doing because those that came before me experienced much worse. And so let's continue on here. Verse 16, he saw that the city was full of, what's that word? Idols. Idols. And it wasn't simply that the city was full of them, but it was the pull that the idols had on people. There's a commentator by the name of Brian J. Vickers. He says this, "It is not that there were multiple idols in and of themselves, but the idols had a pervasive nature, a pervasive hold on people. And rather than worshiping God and knowing and being curious of who God was, they instead worshiped these idols." Now, again, Paul's intentionality leads to his spiritual conversations he has here because he spent time with the Lord. Now, I went on a mission trip a few years back to Japan, and while I was there, I saw these structures. They're called Torii Gateways. And you can Google that later just to see what I'm talking about here. And all throughout Japan, they had these gateways. And what these gateways were, those who believe there is a power in these gateways come from the Shinto religion. And they believe that only powerful spiritual forces called kamis, which are gods, could walk through these gateways. It was a way of connecting the secular with the supernatural or the spiritual. It was a gateway into the spiritual for these gods as they passed back and forth. Now, people living in the flesh were not to walk through these gateways. Instead, they would come up to the gateway, step to the side, walk around it, and bow in reverence to the spiritual. And what I got to do while I was there was use these gateways as a conversation piece to talk about Jesus. Because they were already interested in the spiritual, I started with that and used that as a point to jump into a gospel conversation about who Jesus is. Because if you do any type of dialogue with people from different religions, you'll find that Christianity actually answers more questions than any other religion. Christianity answers all the questions here and now and in the life to come. And so use conversations with people from different religions in order to get to the gospel. And that's what I got to do there as God made me aware of my surroundings. So I've said this before here. You don't have to go on a mission trip in order to share Jesus. You can do that right here, right now, this week. So if you're in the workforce, here's a good question you can ask yourself. What do the guys I work with, the ladies I work with, what do their conversations center around? And how might I use that for the sake of the gospel? Maybe you're a student here and you're at school. What do some of my peers enjoy doing outside of school? Have I gotten to know them well enough where I can actually engage with them in that kind of conversation and then use that for the sake of the gospel? Maybe you do a lot of shopping on Amazon, but there's probably something you can't get on Amazon. I know everything you can pretty much get there. But for the things you can't get there, as you go into stores, do you know the employees well enough? Do you know their backstories? And how could you use that for the sake of the gospel? You see, God has put things all around us. And if we have a love for God, that love for God spills over into this desire to represent him well in any environment we're in. So we can engage with people in the workforce. We can engage with people in our school. We can engage with people as we're shopping out in the marketplace because that's how God wants to use us. And I believe this goes right into 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. If anybody's familiar with apologetics, like this is the verse to go to. It says this, "But in your hearts, honor Christ, the Lord is holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet, do this with gentleness and respect." By honoring God as holy, you have to spend some time with the Lord. Spending time with the Lord represents him as holy in your private life, and serving the Lord represents him as holy in your public sphere, wherever that might be. And God helps you to be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. You see, Christianity is a holistic thing. It's not a siloed religion where you can just, you know, have this area of your life nice and neat and pretty, and then you jump over into this area of your life and Jesus has nothing to do with it. No, Christianity, it impacts everything that we do in life. And so Christ calls us, because we love him, to love other people by sharing about him with them. And to do this with gentleness and respect, meaning we're not just checking off a box if we share the gospel, as if something we have to do, but something we desire to do because we love Jesus. Now, here's the second thing I want you to see. From verses 17 through 18, I want you to see that intentionality leads to conversations among people with different values. Intentionality leads to conversations with people who have different values. Go with me to verses 17 through 18. It says, "So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Now, some of the Epicureans and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him and said, 'What does this babbler wish to say?' Others said, 'He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities,' because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection." Now, did you notice that transition word? First word in verse 17, it says, "so." That transition word has everything to do with what was said in the previous verse. In the previous verse, Paul, in his spirit, was provoked, and he saw that the city was full of idols, and this leads to what he does in verse 17. This leads to a discussion in the marketplace with those who didn't know Jesus. And Paul did this every day. Every day with those who happened to be there. He spoke to Jews. He spoke to devout persons, who were people who feared God. He also spoke to Epicureans and Stoic philosophers. Now, in our text, we don't read that the Jews and devout persons give him much of a response, but the Epicureans and the Stoic philosophers give him a pretty strong reaction. Look back with me at what they say. In verse 18, it says, "Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. Some said, 'What does this babbler wish to say?' Others said, 'He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities,' because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection." Now, before we continue to go into this dialogue they have, I think we need to know a little bit about the Epicureans and the Stoic philosophers. The Epicureans believed that pleasure was the main purpose in life. That if you were to live for anything, you were to live for you. They also held to the belief that organized religion was bad. And this is thousands of years ago. Some of that has trickled into our modern day society. And they also believed that the gods would not punish anyone for any evil they ever do in the afterlife, meaning no hell. Meanwhile, The Stoics believed that self-discipline was the main purpose in life. And so they believed a lot in hard work and dedication. You see, they're kind of polar opposites, the Epicureans and the Stoics. And you'd see why they would come to debate in these circles. The Stoics also believed that God is in everything. So God is in the chair you're sitting in, God's in the ceiling, God's in the tree that's outside, and this is polytheism, that God is in everything. And this is very different than God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. Now, the reaction these philosophers give Paul is pretty demeaning. What do they first call him? They call him a babbler. Now, if you were to understand what this word babbler means, in its original context, it would refer to someone who picks at the ground kind of like a bird and takes many different ideas from different sources and tries to put them together. You know how birds eat? They hop, I won't demonstrate it, but they hop around and they pick at the ground and they have no like real strategy. They're just, you know, hey, where's food? Where's food? Where's food? And they fill their belly, right? And so they're saying Paul's like a little bird picking at many different ideas and bringing them all together, and they're insulting him. They also go on to say he seems to be a proclaimer of strange deities. That's what it says in the NASB translation. So neither of these things they tell Paul are very encouraging. Again, I want you to see that intentionality with people leads to conversations with those who are very different than you. The conversations you have should not always be with people who agree with you on everything. You should have conversations with people who have different worldviews than you. It's very easy in our day and age to not have a conversation, but to dismiss somebody and never let them have their turn. I mean, we see it all throughout our country. We see it all throughout this world. And so one of the biggest things we can do as the church is actually engage in dialogue. Even if we don't agree with the other person, one of the ways to somebody's heart is by hearing them out. And so this is what Paul does. Even though he could care less about all these different things that they're worshiping, he cares for their heart. And this is why he engages in conversation. Now, these philosophers, as I said, don't have the same value system as he does. He believes in Jesus. They don't. He believes that Jesus rose from the grave, that he lived a perfect life, and he died on the cross for sin, and he rose from the grave, conquering sin and death. And they just think this is foolishness. They think this is just ridiculous. And it reminds me, there was a guy who came to the church office over here a few weeks back, and he's a homeless man, and he was asking for money for food. And I started to talk to him, and he was really honest with me. He told me, you know, I'm also an alcoholic. I said, okay, tell me about that. How did your journey down this path start? And as you could guess, this didn't happen overnight. This was a problem that continued. It started very slowly, and it continued to get worse and worse and worse to the point where his addiction became dependency. And his dependency ruined his whole life because he was solely focused on that fix in order to numb the pain that he had. And while he was sharing his story, I got to use bits and pieces of his own story to share the gospel with him. You know, people are much more open to engaging in conversation if you hear where they're at with things in this world. And because he got to share this story with me, I was able to share with him, hey, you know, I see a need for Jesus in that area of your life. You know, you have these anxieties. Jesus can help comfort you in those times. He's present and available at all times. Not only that, but do you have hope when you die? Like, do you know what's going to happen? Well, and Jesus is able to meet that need. And so because I got to talk to him and hear his story, he was much more open to this conversation. And I just want to challenge us today. You know, is there somebody you could ask that's in your circle of influence that you know you haven't really heard their story before? You kind of engage in the same activities week by week, but you don't really know them. You don't know their background. You don't know their journey. But is there somebody you could engage with this week to get to know their story more and see how God might use that? That's what Paul did here. Now, here's my third and final point I want us to see from verses 19 through 21. The third thing is intentionality with people leads to unplanned opportunities for the gospel. Unplanned opportunities for the gospel. Go back with me to verse 19. It says this. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new teaching is that you're presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. and we wish to know, therefore, what these mean. Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. All I can say about this text here is that this is the kind of stuff that happens when you're intentional with people. You never know where the conversation might lead and how God might use you when you're intentional and you slow down and you have these conversations with people. And don't get me wrong, like, there are so many times where I'm just thinking, okay, I need to get from point A to point B. How do I get there quickest? And there's days where I'm like, man, I'm just running out of time. And it is the Holy Spirit of God that has to speak to my heart and remind me, hey, the reason you live on this earth is for me and for the people that I made. You need to slow down and have these conversations. So don't feel like I'm telling you this as somebody that's just lecturing, but I'm there with you. This is a struggle in your job, at your house, even here at church. There are things that need to be done, but there's people who need to be loved at the same time. And so Paul's intentional here. And while, you know, you're intentional with people, this may not lead to your own personal TED Talk on Mars Hill like it did Paul. But you never know where God is going to use you for those unplanned opportunities. Verse 19, it says, they took him, Paul, and brought him to the Areopagus. Now, some of y'all may know what the Areopagus is, but for others of y'all, this was a place called Mars Hill. This is a place where many debates were settled. This is actually a place where the philosopher Socrates was killed because he shared some opinions that his hearers did not like. And so Paul is putting his life at risk here when they say, hey, we got this great spot for you. Come and share more. We want to hear more from you about what you have to say. And yet Paul does this because he loves Jesus more than his own life. Verse 19 says, they took him to the Areopagus, and it goes on to say, we may know what this new teaching is that you're presenting. Verse 20, for you bring some strange things to our ears, and we wish to know, therefore, what these things mean. Now, we don't know their motive and intent completely, but isn't it interesting? Weren't these philosophers just saying, hey, this babbler over here, what do you wish to say? Like, you're speaking all this strange stuff. And now, in these verses, what do we see? We see they have shifted from being disinterested and unconcerned and demeaning to now being interested in what Paul has to say. Hey, we're going to give you a shot. Share with us about this resurrection of Jesus. And this is a huge change. I think about this past year. We've done a lot with the Louisville High School football team. And, you know, they had a tough loss. But, hey, you know, best of luck to the next team that faces South Lake Carroll. They put a hurting on the Louisville High School boys. But we've gotten to do a lot with Louisville High School over the past few years. And this past season in particular, God has opened up some doors for them to be here and for me to speak into the lives of these students. And whenever we do team dinners on Thursday nights, especially at the beginning of the season, there's always this feel that, you know, they don't know me and I don't really know them fully. And these are some of the hardest environments to teach the Bible to because you don't know their backstory, you don't know where they're at with the Lord, and you're just hoping, Lord, I pray that I do the most effective job I can with sharing your word. And yes, I know, when you're effective with the word, you're preaching the gospel well. But even still in my heart, there's struggles I have where I'm like, man, I'm a little intimidated to speak before this group. And yet, over the course of the season, as I got to know them and as they got to know me, the opportunities started to come every single week. A kid would come up to me afterwards and say, hey, you know, there's some stuff going on in my home and I just need some advice. What should I do in this situation? Or somebody says, hey, I was close to Jesus and now I'm not so close. How do I change that desire I have to actually follow him? A couple days ago, I got to follow up with a kid, and I said, hey, remember you shared with me about, like, not wanting to read your Bible and not wanting to pray? How's that going? And he said, hey, well, actually, since our conversation, I started to read the book of Philippians. I said, hey, praise God. That's awesome. That's awesome. So God is opening up doors, and they're always unplanned opportunities, but unplanned always starts with intentional. Unplanned always starts with intentional. Now look with me as we bring this thing to a close here. Look at verse 21. It says, now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. Now, I don't know how many of you guys podcast here, but the Mars Hill place, this area, this was like the podcast haven before the internet. If you wanted to learn something new, you would go here. And I want to ask you a question. It's more of a side note to our focus here. But I think this is a critical point that I've seen over the years, especially myself being someone who struggles with this. When we come to hear a Bible study, or we come to hear a sermon, in your own heart, do you ever feel like something you haven't heard is more valuable? Like, I haven't heard anything from this sermon before, therefore newer is better. Versus like, oh, I've heard from this before, you know, I may listen or may not. You get what I'm saying here? Do you ever feel that way? If you're coming into a Sunday school class or you're sitting down and reading the Bible, do you just kind of check it off because, oh, I've heard that passage. Oh, I've heard a similar sermon to this. Because that is a dangerous place to be. This is what the people in Athens were doing. They were saying newer is better. And I think we could learn something about the Old Testament Hebrews. If you didn't know this, Hebrew, especially the boys, would hear the same verses over and over and over again to get it deeper into their mind and deeper into their heart. Because God's word is an inexhaustible gold mine. No matter how many times you read the word of God, there is always something new and always ways God wants to challenge you, even if it's from the same passage. God wants to speak through his word, and always, every time, without fail, he is doing that, even if it's something you've heard time and time again. So I just want to say to us, be careful you don't fall into the trap of the Athenians, that you're always wanting to hear something new, and that newer isn't just better. Okay, I need to get back to the text here before we run out of time. So we talked about intentionality leads people to understand or leads people to unplanned opportunities for the gospel. There are people in your life that I think even if you pray for them all the time, I think you may give up on having intentional conversations with. I know this is true of me. There are people that I've met that I see consistently, and I feel like because I've had gospel conversations with them before, that I need to like back up a little bit. But here's the truth about who Jesus is and what God will do. God is always wanting you to use the most of your times because these days are short. Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 17 says, look carefully at how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the best use of your time because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Did you hear that? These days, they're evil. These days, they're short. And God wants to use you for his will, so make the best use of these days. Especially now with the holidays, when you get to move a little bit slower around people when you have them over. Be intentional in those conversations. Have those conversations that aim at the person's heart. If you feel like you're saying the same things year after year after year, take a second to walk away and say, hey, God, what do you want me to say? I don't want to come off forceful. I don't want to come off like I'm trying to like shove stuff down their throat. But God, how can I speak in a winsome way that leads people to a place where they think about you more, where they engage with you more? How can I be better used for you, Jesus? Because I don't want to just keep saying the same things and feeling like I'm bothering that person, but instead that I love that person and that I'm here so that they may know Jesus now and forevermore. Those verses also say to seek his will day by day because Jesus never quits. He never quits. He never gives up. He never stops. He never sleeps. And the Psalms say this, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. So is there somebody here today that you can think of? It's been a while since you've had an intentional conversation with. But God has put them on your heart so that you might go to them and have a conversation about who Jesus is and why he loves them so much. What you do while you're waiting for the next things in life are important. What you do while you're waiting for the next things in life are important. At this time, we're going to enter into a time of response. So the band is going to join me on stage. And I want to ask you some things as we close out our time in service. Today, if you are here and you do not have an intentional relationship with Jesus, he is not your personal Lord and Savior. Myself and Jim Crouch will be down front. We would love to talk to you about how to have a relationship with Jesus and who he is and what he means for your life. If you're watching with us online, you can text the word decision to the number at the bottom of the screen. We'd love to connect with you and talk to you about the very same thing. Again, maybe you're here and there is somebody God has put on your heart. Don't wait. Don't wait for the next moment. Today after service, and even during this time of response, get with God and say, God, where and when do you want me to talk to this person? How are you moving me and what are you causing me to say? Because I don't know what that is, but the Holy Spirit works in mysterious ways, but he wants to use you in their life. Or maybe you're here and the gospel, this gospel message that Paul preached, that Jesus lived a perfect life, that he died on a cross for sins and he rose from the grave. Maybe this gospel is something you've only heard, but you've never told. The Great Commission says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. God is with us. God empowers you, and if you have the Holy Spirit of God, God has called you to make disciples, and discipleship starts with evangelism. Discipleship starts with sharing the good news of Jesus, especially in this season, this Christmas time. This is a great opportunity to share with somebody. Invite them to come to one of our services. Invite them into a personal relationship with Jesus and share that good news, not only here, but as you go out of here. Dr. Matt Queen, who comes and speaks here many times, he says, if you know enough to be saved by Jesus, you know enough to share Jesus. You've got a story, and God will use you as you obey. Would you stand with me as we offer up a word of prayer in this time of response? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would move in the hearts of all of us today as we consider what you would have for us. Lord, there's some of us that just need to sit and soak in your word right now. We need to take it in, and we need to see all that you are, all of your goodness, all of your faithfulness, all of your patience, all of your endurance that you have with us. Jesus, help us to see that here. And God, I pray that spills over into a response. God, we would not sit here simply accumulating, but we would get to a place in our hearts where we know we need to live in obedience to you. God, by the power of your Spirit, would you do that right now? Would you convict our hearts? If we need repentance of sin, God, let us turn from that sin in our life. God, if we need to just step up in obedience, God, help us to step up in obedience as a believer. And God, if there's somebody here today that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, would you work in such a way to show them that their purpose, their meaning, their identity in all of life is meant to live for you? And Jesus, that would start today. God, convict us, move us, and challenge us to be more like you. Lord, we love you. We pray this in your name. Amen.